In today's news headlines, the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, testified to House committees in a televised hearing related to the House impeachment inquiry against President Donald Trump on Friday morning. Yovanovitch was removed from her position earlier this year after pressure from Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. In her opening statement, Yovanovitch, who spent decades as a career diplomat, said she was told that, quote, "There had been a concerted campaign against me, that the president no longer wished me to serve as ambassador to Ukraine, and that in fact the president had been pushing for my removal since the prior summer." Later, after her opening statements, Democratic counsel Daniel Goldman quoted from the rough transcript of President Trump's phone call with Ukraine's President Zelensky and asked Yovanovitch to respond.
Without upsetting you too much, I'd like to show you the excerpts from the call. And the first one, where President Trump says, "The former ambassador from the United States, the woman, was bad news, and the people she was dealing with in the Ukraine were bad news. So I just want to let you know." What was your reaction when you heard the president of the United States refer to you as bad news?
I couldn't believe it. I mean, again, shocked, appalled, devastated that the president of the United States would talk about any ambassador like that to a foreign head of state. And it was me. I mean, I couldn't believe it. She's going to go through some things. It didn't sound good. It sounded like a threat.
That's former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine Marie Yovanovitch in a public impeachment hearing on Friday. House Intelligence Committee Chief Adam Schiff paused the questioning to quote Trump's tweets that the president was posting during the actual hearing.
Ambassador Yovanovitch, as we sit here testifying, the president is attacking you on Twitter. And I'd like to give you a chance to respond. I'll read part of one of his tweets. "Everywhere Marie Yovanovitch went turned bad. She started off in Somalia. How did that go?" He goes on to say later in the tweet, "Is a U.S. president's absolute right to appoint ambassadors?"
I mean, I can't speak to what the president is trying to do, but I think the effect is to be intimidating.
Well, I want to let you know, Ambassador, that some of us here take witness intimidation very, very seriously. Mr. Goldman.
President Trump chose to release a rough transcript of a prior phone call that he had had with Zelensky in April on the same day as the Yovanovitch hearing. House Republican Representative and Trump loyalist Devin Nunes, who's a member of the Intelligence Committee, read the transcript in his opening remarks at the hearing, and Trump posted images of the document on his Twitter feed. That phone call did not mention corruption in Ukraine, which may be why Trump and his allies are attempting to focus on it. We'll have more in-depth analysis of the Yovanovitch hearing later on our show. Trump's close associate Roger Stone has been found guilty on all charges in a major federal case that emerged as an offshoot of the special counsel's investigation into 2016 election wrongdoing. A federal jury convicted him on charges of witness tampering related to the leaking of DNC emails by the group WikiLeaks. Stone was also convicted of lying to Congress. A sentencing trial has been set for February. Stone faces up to 50 years in prison. The Washington Post offered this context for his conviction. Quote, "Stone joins a long line of Trump advisors and confidants either convicted or who have pleaded guilty in connection with the special counsel probe, including former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort, former Trump deputy campaign chairman Rick Gates, former national security advisor Michael Flynn, former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, and former Trump campaign advisor George Papadopoulos." In other news, Trump on Thursday asked the Supreme Court to block the release of his tax returns from a former accounting firm to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. Trump lawyer Jay Sekulow called the demand for the returns as, quote, "politically motivated subpoenas," and said they are a, quote, "perfect illustration of why a sitting president should be categorically immune from state criminal process." The U.S. State Department internal watchdog has released a long-anticipated report on Thursday into the mistreatment of one of its staffers, Sahar Nowruzadeh, who was an Iran expert in the Office of Policy Planning during former State Secretary Rex Tillerson's tenure. The report concluded that Trump appointees to the department acted against her, as per CNN, quote, due to false perceptions about her political views and her ethnicity. The case is one of five that's being investigated. Democrats are demanding that current Secretary Mike Pompeo discipline those involved in the wrongdoing. In Southern California, the local community in Santa Clarita is still reeling from a school shooting at Saugus High School early on Thursday morning that left two teenagers dead, a 16-year-old girl and a 14-year-old boy. A 16-year-old boy named Nathaniel Burho is the suspected shooter, and he shot himself in the head after a 16-second firing spree aimed at his fellow students. He remains in critical condition at the hospital. One student survivor of the attack blamed political inaction and President Trump for the continued proliferation of guns in the country.
I should not have to go to school and fear for my life. I go to school so I can get an education, so I can become a doctor, so I can go and pursue my dreams. I shouldn't fear for my life. I'm not a target. And this is, unfortunately, Trump's America. And it breaks my heart to know that more students have to die before we realize that this is an issue and we need to take action. And I vow to myself today, every day from now on, that I'm going to take action and I'm going to stand up for gun control.
That's Amber Miller, a student at Saugus High School, where two teenagers were shot on Thursday. In an acknowledgement of how serious a concern healthcare is to the American electorate, the Trump administration has announced a new rule to force healthcare providers and medical insurers to reveal the actual prices they set for routine procedures. It will also force health plans that are offered through employers to share the rates that they negotiate with healthcare providers. The goal is to enable people to better shop for insurance plans if they have more information. It does nothing to actually lower costs of healthcare, however. The Supreme Court's most controversial justice, Brett Kavanaugh, spoke at the Federalist Society's annual event on Thursday night in an event that was targeted by protesters. Kavanaugh won a very narrow Senate confirmation vote last year after a high-profile public hearing by Christine Blasey Ford, who accused him of attempted rape while in high school. Facebook, which has increasingly allied itself with right-wing figures, sponsored the gala, prompting the activist group Demand Justice to urge the social media company's employees to speak out. In electoral politics news, a runoff governor's race in Louisiana is taking place on Saturday as incumbent Governor John Bel Edwards, a Democrat, fights to keep his seat against Trump-backed Republican businessman Eddie Rispone. Polls show an extremely tight race. And in Kentucky, incumbent Republican governor and Trump loyalist Matt Bevin has finally conceded his loss to Democratic challenger Andrew Beshear after days of digging his heels in. In California, progressive online television host Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks has announced a surprise bid for the seat vacated by freshman Congresswoman Katie Hill, who was forced to resign after being the target of a right-wing misogynist campaign. And that does it for our news headlines today.